Our third reading is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Well, what does it take to have a well-organized, lovely family Christmas? What needs to happen for the Christmas meal to be just right? What needs to happen if there is to be a beautifully cooked turkey, the roast potatoes, the perfect stuffing, Brussels sprouts cooked in such a way that you actually want to eat them, bread sauce, one of my personal favorites, a table that is set in a really attractive way? What needs to happen if presents are to be beautifully wrapped and those gifts actually to be something that their recipients actually want? What needs to happen for the Christmas tree to look lovely, for the decorations to be in the right place? What needs to happen? Well, there needs to be some serious preparation. In fact, hours and hours, if not days and days, and in some cases, weeks and weeks. Tempting though it is, you cannot roll out of bed on Christmas morning, not having thought about Christmas, and say, "What should we have for lunch? And by the way, what would you like for Christmas?" and expect a traditional, lovely family Christmas. You can do that, but it will be pasta or baked beans on toast for Christmas lunch, and at best flowers from a petrol station for the present. Christmas requires preparation. It requires, in fact, lots of preparation. Well, of course, I'm not here this evening to tell you how to have the perfect Christmas. But I'm here to ask whether or not you are prepared properly in the light of Christmas. And the simple question I have for each and every one of you this evening is, are you prepared for the return of the one who was the original Christmas baby? Are you prepared, in other words, for the return of Jesus? And to help us think about that, we're going to spend some time this evening thinking about the other Christmas baby, if I can call him that. This evening, our carol services, we've had three readings, two of which I don't think are normally had at carol services. Well, the first one certainly, but I don't think we have numbers two and three. Well, why don't we normally have them? Well, of course, the second and the third readings were not directly about the birth of Jesus. They are about the birth of John, the other baby, born 6 months before Jesus, and the one who would grow up to be known as John the Baptist. We focus every year quite rightly on the birth of Jesus, and of course his arrival in Bethlehem is the main event. But in Luke's gospel, Luke tells us about the birth of both John and Jesus. Both pregnancies were announced by an angel. In fact, by the same angel. And what we have in our third reading there, if you want to have that open in front of you, that's where it starts, his father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit. What we have there is what Zechariah, John's father, has to say as he reflects upon the birth of his child, John. If you notice, the publicity for Spice Street is Songs for Christmas. This is another song in Luke's gospel. It's the song that Zechariah sings. And let me point out something that I think is unusual about what Zechariah has to say. Just think for a moment about a normal birth of an ordinary boy. You know, if I can take one of my family members to illustrate that. Back in November 1992, our first child was born. It was, of course, a lovely moment for me personally. Harriet had actually been booked in to have the our first baby at Whips Cross Hospital in East London. And Harriet had got to about 37 weeks and popped down to her parents' house in Cheltenham for the weekend, and including the Monday. And of course, the inevitable happened. She went into labor down there. I came down on the Monday. It was all quiet, went all quiet again on the Monday. On Tuesday, Bill Clinton was elected president of the United States. Jack waited 24 hours till the hubbub of that had quietened down, and then arrived Julie on the Wednesday. And there I was holding this lovely child. Now, we had some close friends, Steve and Jenny Parker. They too were expecting their first baby. Our Jack would be born in November, and Charlie would be born on New Year's Eve. And as I picked up Jack in the maternity ward in St. Paul's Hospital in Cheltenham, I did not say, "Praise God, how wonderful that the Parkers are having their baby. How wonderful that they are having their son, because he is so special." I'm not sure what Harriet or the midwives would have thought or have said if that had been my immediate reaction. But what exactly what Zechariah says as he looks at his baby? Look at that there in verse 68. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." He's speaking about Mary's child. He's praising God for the baby that is on the way. And his wife, Elizabeth, of course, a cousin to Mary, this young virgin girl. And he's praising God, of course, because in Jesus, in the Mary's child, God is coming into this world to save the world. He is coming as the great King David's descendant to bring salvation to the world. But what was the point then of his son? What was the point of John? Why have this other child born a few months ahead of Jesus? Well, Zechariah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, knew exactly what his son was about. Look at verse 76 there in the reading. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." Zechariah knows exactly what sort of work John will have when he grows up. He will do preparation. He will go ahead of Jesus. He's 6 months ahead in terms of his birth, and he's going to go ahead as some sort of messenger. John will function as an outrider to Jesus, someone who goes ahead, who prepares the way. When President Obama came here, I think it was in 2011, he had his car flown over. It was a really impressive machine. It's more tank than car, kind of armor-plated, machine guns there. And of course, he just doesn't ride in the car when he goes out in public. The limousine will be accompanied by a motorcade when he was here of at least 20 other vehicles, plus a dozen police motorcycle outriders. Why does the president have these outriders? Why do these people go ahead of him? Well, it's for his security. But why did John go ahead of Jesus? Why did John ride out in front? It wasn't for Jesus' security. If we have a look again at our verse 77, Zechariah tells us it's to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. In other words, John's role was not to provide security for Jesus, but he was to get the people ready for the arrival of Jesus. John's message, in other words, is he is coming, get ready. He is coming, get ready. He is coming, get ready. Now that takes us right to the heart of what we're doing tonight. Because the same pattern applies. John would go ahead of Jesus, preparing the way by saying, he is coming, get ready. And you see, this Jesus, John would do that. He would do that preaching. Jesus would come. He would do his public ministry, and you can read about that in any of the Gospels. He would die upon the cross. 3 days later, he would be raised up again. He would be taken up into heaven, where he is now. And we are told, and he told us, that one day he would return to bring in his eternal kingdom and separate the peoples of the world, living and dead, some to salvation, some to eternal exclusion, some to be with him, some to eternal judgment. You see, Jesus will come again. And what he does, he works in the same way that he worked with John. He always sends messengers ahead of him to say, he is coming, get ready. He is coming, get ready. You see, if we want to have a lovely family Christmas, we must get ready. We must be prepared. It's no good rolling out of bed on the morning and hoping you'll be all right. And we need to do specific things in advance to be ready. And here we have, and thinking about here, the return of Jesus Christ and the need to prepare. He is coming. Get ready. So how do we prepare for his return, which he said will happen one day? We can be sure of that. Well, I want to suggest to you there are three things here in the passage as Zechariah speaks about John that give us clear indications of what we need to grasp if we are to be prepared for his return. I think the first is that we need to realize that God is being very kind to us, very kind. Many today, of course, are very negative about the God of the Bible. I can give you an example of someone who's like that or was like that. Christopher Hitchens, the author, he was one of the new atheists, as they've kind of come to be known. He died a couple of years back, and he hated Christianity. He wrote a book which sold tens and tens of thousands of copies, and it was called God Is Not Great. And Christianity to him, and I quote, is violent, irrational, intolerant, allied to racism, tribalism and bigotry, invested in ignorance and hostile to free inquiry, contemptuous of women and coercive towards children. And for him, the God of the Bible is an ogre, a bad-tempered, vicious despot. But look how Zechariah describes God in verse 78. 78. Because of the tender mercy of our God. The reason he sends John ahead, the reason he sends others ahead of the return of Jesus, is his tender mercy. It's a great description of God, isn't it? A tender God, a merciful God, a kind God, a loving God. Tender mercy is a kind of word you might give to a parent who looks at their child suffering and their heart goes out to them. Our God is a tender God, a merciful God. That's why he sends the messengers ahead. That's the first thing we need to recognize as we prepare. This is not a God who is out to get us. It's a God who is loving and compassionate and merciful towards us. The second thing I think we need to realize and recognize, and this is absolutely key as we think about preparing for the return of Christ, is that we need to have our sins forgiven. We need to have our sins forgiven. And it strikes me as I read this and as you read the rest of the Bible that we will not be properly prepared if we do not understand this and so understand the problem that God has with us. Look again at verse 77, would you? This is a key one. So if you only look at one, this would be a great one to look at. See, in verse 76, Zechariah said, "You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." In other words, for them to experience salvation, they needed to understand this whole business of the forgiveness of sins. You see, when we begin to think about this, and when we begin to think about us as, what we might say, sinners, our natural response, and we think, well, Jesus is coming back and there really is a God and there's going to be judgment, is our first reaction is, well, I just must try harder. Let me try and be good. See if I can, if I'm really good between now and his return or when I die, maybe that'll be all right. No. What the Bible says here is that we need to have our sins forgiven. That's something that we can't do ourselves. Now, this word sin, what does that mean? Well, the Bible often speaks about sin as being like dirt. That kind of sums up its problem. John, of course, would grow up to be John the Baptist. And a baptizer does what? He washes. It symbolizes cleansing. And God is spotless. And he cannot, as it were, let in those who are dirty, who are got the sin clinging to them. You know what it's like if you're parents, when you've got muddy children. It's that time of year, isn't it, where mud just sticks. I take the dog out for a short walk and you put your boots on and your trousers. And no matter how careful you are, the mud seems to kind of get up to you, right up to you. And if you are young and you go out and play football, it gets up to here, doesn't it? And they come back to your house and they want to come in. And you don't say, oh, yes, come on into the sitting room and sit down. You say, no, before you come in, you need to be cleaned. You need to be washed. And so it is with God. There needs to be a cleaning. And so you might ask, well, what is that dirt? What does that look like? What is that sin all about? Well, it comes in a number of shapes and forms in the Bible, but essentially our sin is the fact that we have ignored God, we have ignored his commands, and we've broken his laws. And that leaves us on a collision course with Jesus Christ for when he returns. It really is as simple as that. And it is true of us all that we have all ignored God. We have all broken his commands. We have all broken his laws. So can you see, God is kind. We are sinners. We need our forgiveness of sins. So how can our sins be forgiven? How can we be prepared for his return? Well, it's very, very simple. And it is that we need to do business with Jesus before he returns. We need to do business with him. And we get ready, we prepare for his return by going to him now and asking him to forgive our sins. It's really very simple. So simple, isn't it? He's coming back. We're in trouble. We need to be put right. He does it. He grants that pardon to us and that forgiveness to us. And so for every person, a simple way to get ready is simply to go to this Jesus Christ now and say, please forgive me. I have sins. Please forgive me. Please put me into the right relationship with you and give me new life. And he will do exactly that because he died upon a cross 33 years after he was born to take upon himself our punishment and our sin. It's so simple, isn't it? How do we prepare? By simply turning to Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness, and giving our lives to him in his service. And the little phrase right at the end of verse 79 says that in doing this, our feet are led into the path of peace. We have peace with God, and we can be sure of being safe when he returns. If you will turn to Christ and receive his forgiveness, you may still have a rubbish Christmas, but you will have a wonderful eternity when Jesus Christ returns. So are you prepared? Will you prepare? When I've finished in a few moments, and I promise it will just be a few moments, I'm just going to leave a little space for silence. If you can see one of these little red books in front of you, there's a prayer in there which just is a prayer seeking forgiveness and committing our lives to Christ. You may just like to have a look at that if there's one in front of you. It's at the back on page 12 of that. And it may be that tonight that will be the prayer that you can pray and need to pray that you might be prepared for his return. You might, of course, be sitting there thinking, whoa, 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 there's just lots I don't understand. There's lots I don't believe. Who is this Jesus? Did he really rise from the dead? How do I know he's coming back? How do I know this Bible is true? What do you mean, sins? What do you mean, forgiveness? There may be lots of questions which you sincerely have and need to wrestle with. Well, we would love to help you with that. There are cards in the pews, One Life, What Is This All About, where we have a short course where any question goes, any objection can be raised. It's Christianity Explored, and it just would give you a chance just to explore those questions, and we'd love to help you with that. Please speak to myself after the service or find Chris, who led the service, and we'd love to talk to you about that. But please be prepared, not just for Christmas, but for the return of the one who was that Christmas child, the Lord Jesus. Let's just take a moment of quiet. Thank you. Father, as John prepared the way for the earthly ministry of Jesus, so you prepare us for the return of Jesus when he comes to judge the living and the dead. We thank you for the message of the gospel, which calls us to do a very simple thing, yet for many of us it's a very difficult thing, to come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Grant us that turning from sin and that asking for forgiveness that we need to do, that we might be ready for his return. and help us then to serve him in holiness and righteousness all of our days. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Let's sing our final carol this evening before heading off for refreshments in the hall here adjacent. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. As we close, a sentence from that great prayer of Zechariah's. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Amen. Amen.